Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Life After Cars, by Sarah Goodyear is a forward-looking examination of how modern life became organized around the private automobile and what it would take to move beyond that dependency. Drawing on the author's long-standing work in urbanism and transportation writing, the book frames car dominance as more than a mobility choice. It is a system that shapes public space, public health, climate emissions, household budgets, and the texture of everyday community life. The narrative connects big-picture forces such as policy, infrastructure funding, and land use rules with street-level outcomes like dangerous intersections, isolated suburbs, and the decline of walkable main streets. Rather than treating the issue as a culture war between drivers and cyclists, Goodyear focuses on design and governance decisions that have made driving feel mandatory for many people. The book offers a practical, humane lens on what a post-car future could look like and how cities can transition with fairness and realism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how car dependence was engineered, not inevitable. A central idea in Life After Cars is that automobile dominance did not simply happen because people love driving, but because institutions built a world where driving is often the only convenient option. The book traces how road building, zoning, parking mandates, and highway-era planning reinforced low-density development and separated homes from jobs, schools, and shops. Over time, these choices created a feedback loop. Dispersed land use required more driving, which justified wider roads, which in turn made walking and cycling less safe and less appealing. Goodyear also highlights how the costs of this system are frequently hidden. Public budgets fund major roadway expansion and maintenance, while individuals shoulder car payments, insurance, fuel, and repairs. The result is a transportation landscape that can feel like freedom for some, but operates as a form of constraint for others, especially those who cannot drive or cannot afford a reliable vehicle. By framing car dependence as a policy outcome, the book opens the door to policy solutions, showing that different choices can produce different everyday realities. Secondly, the true costs of the automobile, safety, health, and climate, Goodyear emphasizes that the automobile is not only a transportation tool, but also a major driver of preventable harm. Traffic violence is presented as a predictable result of streets designed for speed and throughput, rather than for human error and human life. When roadways prioritize fast movement of cars, pedestrians, cyclists, and even drivers pay the price through crashes, injuries, and chronic fear that reshapes behavior. The book also connects car-oriented environments to health outcomes. In places where walking is unpleasant or dangerous, physical activity declines and social isolation can rise. Air and noise pollution concentrate along busy corridors, often affecting communities with fewer resources and less political power. Climate impacts are addressed as systemic rather than merely personal, since long commutes and limited alternatives lock people into high emissions routines. The book's value is in showing how these costs stack together. Safety, public health, household finances, and climate resilience are intertwined. Treating transportation as a public health and climate strategy, not just a commuting issue, becomes a key premise for building broad support for change. Thirdly, streets as public space and the rebuilding of community life. Another major theme is the idea that streets are the largest shared civic space in many places, yet car-centric design has turned them into corridors that people endure rather than enjoy. Life After Cars explores how reclaiming street space can improve daily life by making neighborhoods more social, local businesses more viable, and public space more democratic. When sidewalks are wide, crossings are safe, and traffic speeds are low, the street becomes a place where children can move independently, older adults can remain active, and casual interactions become common again. The book underscores that these benefits are not just aesthetic. Walkable environments support local retail by increasing foot traffic, reduce the need for costly parking, and can make transit more effective by improving first-mile and last-mile access. Goodyear also addresses the emotional dimension. Places designed for people can feel calmer, safer, and more dignified. By reframing mobility as a means to access opportunity and connection, the book argues that the goal is not to eliminate cars everywhere, but to stop sacrificing community life to accommodate unlimited car movement and storage. Fourthly, practical alternatives, transit, cycling networks, and better land use. The book lays out a toolkit for reducing car dependence that goes beyond a single mode shift. High-quality public transit is presented as essential, but Goodyear stresses that transit succeeds when it is frequent, reliable, and integrated with land use patterns that support it. Protected cycling infrastructure is treated not as a niche amenity, but as a scalable system that can handle large numbers of short trips when it forms a connected network. Walking improvements, including safer crossings, shade, lighting, and curb management, are described as foundational because nearly every trip begins and ends on foot. The book also links transportation reform to land use reform. If zoning continues to enforce separation of uses and low density, even the best transit investments will struggle. Mixed-use neighborhoods, gentle density, and reduced parking requirements can shorten trips and make car-free or car-light living feasible for more households. Importantly, Goodyear discusses implementation realities, pilots, quick build redesigns, bus priority lanes, and pricing tools like congestion charging can show benefits quickly while long-term capital projects progress. The thread running through these strategies is choice, giving people viable options rather than moralizing about personal travel decisions. Lastly, equity and the politics of transitioning beyond cars. Life After Cars treats the move away from automobile dominance as a political and equity challenge as much as a technical one. Goodyear highlights that the burdens of car-centered planning have often fallen hardest on marginalized communities through highway construction, displacement, pollution exposure, and underinvestment in transit. At the same time, she acknowledges that many working families rely on cars today because alternatives are weak, jobs are far away, or shift work makes transit impractical. A fair transition, therefore, requires expanding access, not restricting it. The book emphasizes policies that improve mobility for people who currently have the fewest options, better bus service, safer walking routes to schools, and pricing structures that avoid punishing low-income households. It also examines the backlash that can accompany street redesign, especially when changes are framed as taking something away rather than providing safer and more reliable ways to get around. Building durable coalitions involves showing measurable improvements, listening to local concerns, and distributing benefits across neighborhoods. By treating equity as a design requirement, not an afterthought, Goodyear positions the post-car future as a chance to repair past harms while creating a more resilient and inclusive transportation system. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who care about cities, transportation, climate, and public health, including planners, policy students, advocates, and everyday residents who sense that traffic and parking have become the organizing principle of local life. It is also valuable for drivers who feel trapped by long commutes or rising vehicle costs and want realistic alternatives rather than blame. Life After Cars can benefit readers by clarifying how street design and land use rules shape personal freedom, safety, and opportunity. It helps people see why small changes like safer crossings or bus lanes can produce outsized improvements in time, stress, and neighborhood vitality, and why the most effective solutions are often systemic rather than individual. Compared with similar urbanist titles, the book stands out for treating the car system as a whole, ecology of policy choices, and for balancing urgency with practical pathways for transition. It connects equity, climate, and quality of life without turning the topic into a narrow debate between modes. If you want a grounded case for reclaiming streets for people and building cities where driving is optional, this is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Sarah Goodyear, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.